Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Tuesday, February 23rd. Wesley, how many days until Selection Sunday?
It feels great to say this again. We are 19 days away from Selection
we
Sunday.
We are inching.
The countdown is back.
Ever closer. The countdown is back, which we love to see. And with us getting closer to Selection Sunday, we're nearing the end of our dreaded midterm week here at the University of Wisconsin. And that's why we haven't recorded in about 8-9 days, something like that. Mm-hmm. I know we kind of got a boy who's cried wolf sort of thing going on here, but we do promise to be better. We will try amping it up to about 2 a week, and when we're about a week out from Selection Sunday, then they'll be
coming up.
They'll be frequent. Mm. But yeah, make sure to give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, Made in March Podcast, _ between every word. And to start off today's episode, we got a fun special segment. Alex, do you want to key in the people on what that is?
Yeah, so we're going to be going over some teams that we think are overrated and underrated going into the big dance. So we're just going to be naming teams who we like. The underrated teams, of course, and overrated teams are teams that are too high in the rankings for what we think they should
or be. Or like the public opinion on
yeah,
them.
Yeah, once again,
this is all relative. Like, you can say a team's overrated if they're ranked, like, sixth in the nation. That's not saying that you think they're a bunch of bums and are going to lose first round.
Overrated for
but,
the spot.
But, yeah, they're overrated, you know, relative to where they're ranked. And so we're each going to list one nominee for underrated, one for overrated. Who wants to start?
Alex,
I mean, I can start.
Yeah.
Overrated or underrated first?
Let's start with the bad news, so overrated.
All right, we'll go with overrated. I'm going to start out. I'm going to say Wisconsin. I've been giving them a lot of slander as of late. I think they're ranked 22nd mm-hmm. in the new AP poll. And mainly, I just think they rely too much on Demetri Trice and Micah Potter. Although I did
yes.
slander Brad Davison.
And he turned it
so
up.
He took some shooting lessons from myself and made a couple threes.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't think they have the experience. I don't think they're really putting it all together this year. That's
yeah.
my take on Wisconsin.
And they've been very bad as of recently. I think there was like a something, was it like 7 of their last 9 they've lost or some crazy number, 5 of their last
yeah,
7
yeah.
or something crazy, which
yeah.
was insane, I guess. I don't know. And it seems crazy for a team of seniors to be going on losing streaks.
It's
normally,
insane.
It's insane.
And, you know, hometown slander is never what the people want to hear, but, you know,
it kind
sometimes
of,
it's
it
what they
to
need
happen.
To hear.
Tough
because,
love is what it takes.
Exactly. You know, you would never think a team with 5 seniors starting would be that undisciplined.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to agree with your take that you like threw out there maybe
like
a month ago, Wesley.
A month or two ago, well, they're
you
too
were like,
old. They're too old.
The Badgers might be too old. Like, the players almost have like 1 foot out the door, like not
yeah.
fully committed.
They're not fully committed.
I'm not like saying that for sure, but if that were the case, it would kind of explain a lot of the Badgers' shortcomings.
And I think that also is due to they're all quite stubborn. They all have their ways, how they do things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not willing to change, I guess, for the team, I would say.
Coach Gard even mentioned that. He said seniors are the hardest to coach because they already know like what their way is.
They're very stubborn. And I think you can just kind of see with this team, like I was hoping that because they've been together for 4+ years that the chemistry would be incredible, but the chemistry has really not looked there. And that's kind of been the downfall, I guess, of the team, of how their things are spiraling out of control right now. So,
and one thing that is very concerning with Wisconsin is usually they're a defensive team first, and
yeah.
they build off playing good defense. And they just it hasn't looked like they've been playing that
no.
that team defense as of late. Granted, they are playing really good teams like
the
Michigan,
very,
Ohio State,
yeah.
Iowa,
high
powered offenses. But mm-hmm. I think their defense really needs to step it up, and then hopefully, like players like Brad Davison can start shooting the ball better.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree more.
I mean, their defense is going to come to play most nights, but their offense, just like the rhythm and just the feel of how they're running an offense, has looked atrocious for about the past 2 months. And it kind of has the whole season, so
yeah.
there's not really much to hang your hat on with the Badgers right here, so it's kind of a tough scene for them.
Absolutely. Wesley, what's your overrated team?
My overrated team is the Creighton Blue Jays out of the Big East. Coming into the season,
and what are they ranked, by the way, in the
they're
new
right
people?
Now I think they're 13 after a win over, to be fair, a win over Villanova, a pretty dominant win. I think it was a 15-point win over Villanova, something like that. But they're 13th in the poll. They're 16-5. But this team just does not pass the eye test for me. 13th in the country is pretty high, I'd say. That's a
yeah, it's a
you're on the
nice
three
ranking.
Line probably. They just do not pass the eye test. They have losses to bad teams this year, like Marquette, Butler, Providence, and Georgetown.
Yeah, those aren't
bad losses.
You know, great things you want in
and
your
resume.
And the
Big East is not a deep conference. So, like,
no.
I mean, they obviously have a win over Nova, and Villanova's got a chance to get revenge in about a week or so. But that's, like, I would say that's their one good win. They had a chance with Kansas earlier in the season. They lost
that game. Yeah, they played competitive in that game.
They did play competitive, lost by a point, but still lost the game. And they have four bad losses. They just don't pass the eye test. They have a ton of talent. Marcus Zagorowski arguably was he preseason Big East Player of the Year?
He was preseason.
He was.
Yeah. He was
preseason. He was preseason Big East Player of the Year, and he was also preseason All-American, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. First or second or third team, not first team.
I thought he was first. Maybe he was second, regardless, there were high expectations.
Super high expectations, and this team is pretty deep, I would argue, and they just haven't passed the eye test. I mean, even in like games they're winning, they're against subpar talent, I would say, in the Big East, but the competition's not there, and this team just does not do it for me.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to piggyback off that one. That's my overrated pick as well, the Creighton Blue Jays. You know, they're on a three-game winning streak, so it's kind of hard to put a team that's on a three-game winning streak as overrated, especially coming off a win over Nova. However, Mitch Balick has been playing pretty nice for them lately.
Yes.
But he's always been known to be a player that kind of goes on streaks like that. You know, he'll have hot games, and he'll have cold games. And I don't think he's going to be like that for, you know, obviously the remainder of the year.
He's not consistent.
And Zagorowski's actually been playing a lot better recently as well.
A lot better as of recent.
But, you know, he goes back to his, you know, start to middle of the year form,
and they're kind
of
done.
And one thing I've noticed about Creighton, this is the last thing we'll add, they never blow teams out.
Never. It's always a close game.
And with the way that they play, with their, like, because they have a decent offense, I won't lie, you would think that they would blow teams out, but they never do. And to me, that's actually rather worrisome for them.
In a weak Big East Conference,
too. In a weak Big East Conference, no less, come March Madness.
I think it's very scary. This team,
so yeah, I'm
this
right
team
there
could
with you.
Very, very easily first round exit. I could
see. I'm gonna disagree. I think Creighton's pretty fairly rated. And just to go against your point, I mean, a 16 point win against Nova, and they also beat
a bubble Seton Hall
team by like 30. I mean, I think Creighton's starting to put it together. Zagorowski's starting to play better, and that's obviously key for him. Mahoney has taken a step back, but if you look at it, that's great for Creighton. Because Zagorowski starts playing better, Mahoney plays better.
If you're
going
to make the argument for Creighton, that's exactly the argument you make. You make the argument that, you know what,
they weren't playing good,
now they're starting to reach their potential. But I don't know. I saw too much of them not playing good earlier in the year
for me to believe that Nova win
seems more like a flash in the pan. I don't know. That's a fair take on it, though, as well, Alex.
It's all in perspective.
I mean, that's why I'm not going to say Creighton's necessarily overrated. I think they're still a good team, and their offense can carry them. I think they can pick up a few wins in the tournament.
And that's a fine take, especially with the Nova win, too.
Yeah, now turning the tides, we're going to underrated teams. I'll start this one off. I've got Texas Tech. I believe they are 18th in the nation.
Correct.
Can I get a quick fact check on that?
Correct. 14-7.
They're 14-8, I believe.
I think they're 14-8.
I think they are.
And once again, I'm making an argument for a team here that might not make sense because I'm saying they're my underrated team, yet they've lost their last two games. So you can almost picture this as a buy-low opportunity, sort of, if you want to think it like the stock market. But the reason I'm arguing for Texas Tech is because the Big 12, I think we can all agree, is an incredibly tough and deep conference to play in this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they have 8 losses, but you're in the Big 12. Like, losses will happen.
Same
I'm
as
not
the Big
saying
10
8 losses is, like, great or anything. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, when they've got that combo of Mac McClung and Terrence Shannon, who I know you really like, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got McCullough playing nice minutes as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that this team has the firepower and, like, the just
the potential
X factor with Chris Beard at coach that they could easily go on a run.
Same thing
and the
as
reason they
ago.
Could go on a run is because Mac McClung is that dude.
He is.
He's a closer, and he is clutch. And if there's somebody, if there's something I like to have in teams that I have making a run in my March Madness bracket, it's that one guy who you know has ice in his veins, and that's Mac McClung.
That's fair. I mean, this Texas Tech team is kind of giving you the vibes as the 2019 Texas Tech team that made the run to the championship. They're just kind of sneaky underdogs. Obviously, Chris Beard wasn't as well known at that time. Obviously, I think he was coach of the year that year, so he kind of was he coach of the year that year, I think?
I believe he was.
So he kind of came into the spotlight then with that. But this team has the firepower. Taron Shannon's an NBA draft pick, obviously. And Mac McClung, I agree, he's a dog.
He's a dog.
I like that pick.
I do as well. I think I'll take on the next one here. My team that underrated that I am going to say is the Purdue Boilermakers.
And they're unranked, right?
They're unranked. They're 15-8 team, although they are in the Big Ten. So the Big Ten and Big 12, I would say, are...
They're 15 and what?
8.
15-8, okay.
They're an 8-loss team. But I'd say the Big Ten and Big 12 are kind of the same thing where, like, losses just happen. They don't really have any bad losses, I would say. I mean, like... They've beaten, I mean, if you lose to Northwestern, Nebraska, or Penn State. Those are considered bad losses in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. They don't have any of that. They have a win over wins over Ohio State and Minnesota. So they had a nice little stretch where they got some ranked wins, which was huge for this team. Then they were ranked and then dropped back out of the rankings. And now they're on a little two-game win streak, although against Michigan State and Nebraska. But I just love this team. I think they're super deep. Travion Williams is a dog.
I was going to say, how can you talk about Purdue and not mention Travion? He's insane.
He's a dog. Their guard play has been picked up as of recent.
That's the key.
I was worried about that in the beginning of the season. I'm like, mm-hmm. this is a Travion-led team. They're just going to feed him, and then teams are going to figure out, all right, we're just going to double, and it's over. But the guard play has been it's been there, and I think if it's there to stay, this team is very, very spooky.
I'm seeing eye to eye with you, Wesley. I'm in agreement with both those picks. I think it's a great pick.
All right, and then my underrated team is Okie State. My reason behind this is...
And they're unranked as well, right?
Yep, they are unranked, and they obviously have one of the best freshmen, if not the best freshman in all of college basketball, who is a great closer.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he's clutch. He knows how to finish games. And the big thing that stands out for Oklahoma State with me is they're 6-4 in quad one wins. So that's
pretty good.
Yeah, six that's, quad that's... one wins. They're playing in the Big 12, obviously, an insanely tough conference. And then going forward, they played two games against Baylor and then West Virginia. So even if they lose those games, it's like they might get a lower seed. I think they could be very spooky in the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a tough schedule to finish. I think they play Oklahoma twice and then Baylor, West Virginia.
Yeah. Oh.
So I say if they can even pick up two of those, that's going to be...
If they pick up two, that's
a win. Yeah.
Two of those, they're going to be probably on the 5 line, honestly.
Yeah.
If they pick up two of those I'd say.
I think it's an all right pick there for underrated team. Here's what I noticed about Okie State when I watched them. They play very aggressive. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like to see in a team. You know, they got a lot of heart. They got a lot of hustle out there.
Very young team.
Everyone goes after the boards. It's just like, I don't know. I really like seeing that in a team. And obviously, Cade Cunningham. What can't you say about him? Really?
That's fair. I would kind of compare them to an Alabama-type team. A Walmart version.
I don't know if I see that, really.
They're kind of a run and gun. I see them as a run and gun kind of team.
They're a run and gun, but they're a different kind of run and gun than Bama.
That's fair. They're not firing threes every possession.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're a fun team to watch nonetheless.
Yeah, most definitely.
That just about wraps up our little
Any honorable mentions?
Segment.
I know I got one for underrated. Just throw out the little Hail Mary. We're going to go with Rutgers.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Hoping.
I thought you were going to say Maryland.
Oh, I do. Maryland's another one. I've been on Maryland for
Rutgers
a little bit.
Rutgers is not
underrated. Okay, let's just have this discussion. I know we talk about Rutgers a lot on here, but what seed do we think Rutgers is going to be in March? 10 seed?
Maybe, yeah, and I don't really see them
you
making
can't,
any noise.
You can't tell me that they're not a scary 10 seed.
They are not a scary 10
okay.
seed.
Okay, they're scary in the 10-7 matchup, but I don't think they're scary to the 2 seed that would win.
I hard disagree, but that's okay. If they're an honorable mention, we don't have to go too deep in. You guys have any?
Nothing else. I like the Maryland pick. I also think
UNC has been playing much better basketball as of late.
Yes,
what about overrated? I'll throw one out. Tennessee. I mean, I know that
Missouri.
Yeah.
Two SEC.
They're both kind of sitting at the end of the ranking, so they're not like ranked that highly. But even still,
we've been harping on both those teams being overrated for a couple weeks now. So
yeah.
Also, Virginia Tech. I liked Virginia Tech early. They just lost to Georgia Tech the other night. They have not
the Rambling
been playing good.
Yeah.
So
unfortunate, yeah. I think those are some good honorable mentions to throw in there.
Yeah, for sure. And with that, should we get into the games to recap? Obviously, we're not going to go back all 9 days. That seems a little
unnecessary.
So we'll just leave off
Thursday.
What should we do, last Thursday?
Thursday, yeah.
All right.
So starting on Thursday, Houston kind of suffers its worst loss of the season on the road against Wichita
State. Not
the
worst loss. They lost to East Carolina. Let's not forget.
Oh, they did. The Pirates. I forgot about that. Wichita State, though, defeats Houston 68-63. And to be fair, Wichita State has looked pretty good this season.
They've been turning it on a little bit as of late.
We need to recognize what Wichita State's done this year and how incredible it is. Do you know how many people transferred from them in the offseason?
Including their best player, Eric Stevenson.
Including the GOAT, Eric Stevenson. They had 7 players transfer.
Crazy. And then to recover
and
like
they've
that,
gotten arguably better.
They have gotten better.
With a new 100%, coach.
100%.
I mean, that's insane.
It's crazy.
And it's all their backcourt.
Exactly.
Wichita State's got a decent backcourt with Altari Gilbert, the UConn grad transfer. And
that was a nice pickup.
Travis Etienne, one of the few who returned.
Tyson Etienne.
Not
getting your sports mixed up there.
My bad.
Yeah, but Wichita State kept it close with Houston, I remember, in the first meeting, and squeaked it out in this one. I think, I mean, the AAC is kind of a weaker conference, to be fair, but that's a huge win for Wichita State.
They just got that blue collar.
They are first in conference.
They got that blue collar.
They have had a lot of games canceled, though. I do know that. I think they've played, like, what, 15, 16 games, 17 games, something like that. Not a lot of games, obviously. But there's something, like, it's just spooky.
No matter what happens, Wichita State's a nice surprise.
They'll make the tournament.
Oh, obviously. They definitely will. They're, like, a 4 or 5 loss team.
Yeah.
But they're spooky.
Cougs, though. Are you fading on them?
Not fading yet, no. I think, I don't know, kind of a bump in the road.
I don't know.
I'm not a full fade. You're getting worried.
It's
a little ants in your pants right now.
It's
but
really tough for me to like this team when they lose to teams like East Carolina. And then, I mean, Wichita State, they're decent. But
Houston's ranked, what, 6th in the nation?
Yes.
Or at least at the time was?
Yeah.
And their guard play, like, I like Sasser. It's Grimes that is a little bit shaky for me.
Yeah. But to be fair, though, this Houston team also beat Boise State and Texas Tech earlier in the season. So, like, they have
Houston's not a team of scrubs, don't get me wrong.
Not scrubs, no.
But when you add this on their loss to East Carolina, I would just say it's not, like, a great look for them.
Yes.
But,
that's fair. Fair. Iowa destroys Wisconsin at home. Iowa on the road at Kohl Center, 77-62. That's a bad loss.
Garza and Wieskamp just too much.
I think Garza had like 11 of the first 15 points or something.
It was Garza goggles to the max that game.
It was bad. And Luka Garza was splashing from three, too.
Yeah.
Like, he would get Potter to bite on like a jab step, and he would just pull up. He looked like a guard out there.
Like,
was crazy.
Micah's a very good offensive player, but you put him down low against, like, Luka, Kofi, it's
Travion is
over. Yep,
speaking of splashing from three, last episode, Alex, you slandered Brad Davison.
Told him to get in the
you
gym.
You challenged him to meet you on campus, and you could teach him how to shoot threes.
He did. Just
and
kidding.
Listen, maybe he heard it, maybe he took it to heart, because he was the wet show from three.
5 of 8 from three.
Oh,
and
where
and
has
also,
this been all season,
also,
Brad?
I think he had, like, 3 straight 3s to kind of get Wisconsin back into the game, more or less, down 5 points, something like that. Like, he got them tight, but then obviously they blew it. But, Brad, where has this been, though? Alex brings up a great point. Where has this been?
He just needed Alex chirping in his ear the whole season, and maybe he'd be doing this. Who knows?
We haven't seen that from Brad all year, so I don't know. I think it's kind of smoke and mirrors. Smoke and mirrors kind of thing.
Yeah, most likely.
I'm not buying it. Definitely not buying it. But moving on to Michigan. Squeaks out a win at home against Rutgers, 71-64. Rutgers keeping it tight. Miles Johnson played well defensively in this game.
As he always does. But the final score is actually a little closer than what the game was. Michigan had won that game rather handily. And I say that as a Rutgers supporter. But even when Rutgers was out of it, here's one thing I noticed. And this is actually different from the beginning of the year. They did not give up. And that's honestly something I really like to see in a team, especially come March. Like, there was like a minute left. There was no reason. There was, okay, you watch this game. There's a minute left. There's no reason for them to be fighting at all. Like, there's no reason. And they're just, like, full court press, like, hounding them. You can't tell me that's not a good look.
Well, you would hope that your team would be want to win.
Whereas, dude, they were down like 13 points with a minute left.
I mean, if that's all you got
left,
going for a team,
that's not good.
This is versus the number 3 team in the nation. Give me
to
a
be
break.
Fair, Rutgers was punting on games with 6 minutes left in the game in the first half of the season.
That's
so
what I'm saying. That's what
it's
good
a improvement.
They punted once, and that was versus Michigan State
and the Badgers. Oh no, it was against Michigan State.
No,
it was against Michigan State. They were down.
Let's not spread false narratives here.
No false narratives. Fine.
Yeah. My main takeaway from this game is Michigan, they have any player can beat you on any given night.
That's crazy.
This game, it was Franz. I mean, usually we talk about Dickinson and Livers, but Franz stepped up this game. He's an underrated player, in my opinion. So you never know who's going to beat you for Michigan.
It's not like Michigan has, like, I mean, Hunter Dickinson's quite good, but, like, they don't have a full-blown superstar that's going to, like, Iowa, that's going to get you 15 every night.
Yeah.
I guess,
They're a very well-rounded team. Clearly
absolutely
well-coached, because Juwan Howard should be consensus coach of the year.
Yep.
If he isn't consensus coach of the year,
boy, I'm going to lose it.
I'm going to lose it.
It would be very disappointing if he wasn't.
Yeah.
But moving on, I have to mention this Pac-12 action, because Oregon's getting votes now. Oregon, I think, had the 4th or 5th most votes to be ranked this week. Defeats Colorado 60-56. To be fair, the Pac-12...
Stinks.
But I think Chris Duarte was, like, in nomination for, like, top 4 shooting guards in the country. Like, whatever the shooting guard award is, the West award or
they
something
have,
like that.
I'm just going to go out there and say it. They have way too many pointless awards. like shooting guard, like award of the year. It's like, just give me a break. Let's have National Player of the Year and let's have Big Man of the Year, and then let's just call it a day.
Big Man and Best Guard.
Sure, if you really want. And obviously, this is not including like Freshman of the Year and stuff like that, but like shooting guard of the year, like, come on.
Give me a break. But that pretty much wraps up the games from Thursday, moving into Friday.
Whoa, you were forgetting one. Boise State, Blue Court Broncos, ooh, beating Utah State.
That was the one first of two.
Yeah, that was their first two. They played two games over the weekend, and I believe we can just knock them both out right here. Yeah, Boise State won
Friday.
Both, right?
Boise State won both games. Yeah, I was going to mention the Friday one. Yeah, they won both, though.
Boise State's a turning team, guys.
Yeah.
They Utah just
State,
are.
Utah State's fading hard. They're not making a tournament unless they win their conference tournament. I still see Mountain West two-bit as a possibility. Yeah,
I think it's SDSU and Boise State.
I think so, yeah. I think those two wins probably...
Should put
Boise State in, even if they don't win, so as an at-large.
Yeah.
SDSU and Boise State are probably both going to make the tournament, which is, you love to see it, because the Mountain West is an incredibly competitive conference.
Colorado State's right on the bubble, too.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's four very good, Utah State's not a bad team either. They're just kind of stuck in a very, very good mid-major conference.
Very, yeah.
Probably the best mid-major conference, honestly, overall for depth and everything.
I would agree.
That hasn't been the case in past years, but this year I would definitely put them there. But I think they're kind of out of it unless they win the tournament. But Boise State, yeah. They were kind of faltering for a little bit. They were a little worrisome. A
little bit.
They're back. They're officially back, I'd say. But now officially moving into Friday. I have to mention this game because St. Louis was ranked at one time, and they lose to Dayton by 23, 76, or 53.
So what happened to St. Louis? Like, they had a lot of preseason hype and everything.
I think during our preseason podcast, I put St. Louis as, like, the mid-major team to watch out for.
It was them and Richmond. Like, they both had high hopes coming out of the A-10.
The A-10
is disappointed. And both of them have fell flat.
The A-10 has just been disappointing.
It really has been.
It's just kind of sad. I don't think, like, any team can win it, even win a game in March. Whoever comes out is not winning a game in March out of that conference.
I agree.
VCU,
highly
maybe.
Doubtful.
Maybe VCU.
I like VCU.
Maybe VCU. I'm willing to extend the olive branch to VCU. See what happens there, but, yeah, not much coming out of there. And then only other game that's mentionable from this night was Boise State, obviously, defeating Utah State for the second time, completing the season sweep. And that wraps up Friday. I'm moving into Saturday.
Can I mention one game really quick?
You can mention one game. You are more than welcome.
We got UC Santa Barbara.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. They're currently 16-3.
Yes,
they picked up a win. First in conference, they've won 12 straight. Note, their two losses in conference early in the season were to UC Irvine, who basically always makes it out of that conference. But UCSB received two votes this week in the AP poll.
Did they beat UC Irvine?
Once?
At least once? Or no?
No, they lost both times. But
you know, this is a no disrespect sort of situation to either of these teams, UC Irvine or UC Santa Barbara.
The Anteaters won 2 years ago.
Yeah, sure.
Yes,
once again, no
Anteaters
disrespect.
The Anteaters are a great tournament
I picked them
team.
To win when they were the
against
13
State,
seed. Against
school.
Four seed of K-State. However, no school. Disrespect. This is like the Horizon League Conference of the West Coast.
Debatable.
How can you say that?
That's debatable.
When Irvine literally comes out of there and wins games in March
every
other year.
They won game. They won game. Name one other time UC Irvine's won a game in March other than that year.
They won two that year.
No, they did not. Oregon beat them in the second round.
They played Oregon. Oregon.
Oregon beat them in the second round. It was 12 versus
13. Okay, then they definitely won another one.
No, they did not. You're mine. This is like a... Like, your brain is
but
just,
better
like,
than
convoluting the truth.
I think
it's like it was a great win, and I'm sure that conference celebrated it very hard. But... SF Austin's won multiple games in March Madness. Do you hear me talking about the Southland Conference, saying that the Southland's like this great conference? No.
Okay, but
that's an unfair thing to say and an unfair argument to make.
But they don't deserve to be on the same level as the Horizon.
Sure, but I would argue the SWAC is almost worse than the Horizon, so they should be happy
SWAC.
I didn't call them the SWAC of the West Coast.
Fair. The SWAC
once
is
again,
bad.
No disrespect.
Bro,
of course
I swear they won it one more.
They did it. You can search Google as much as you want, but you're not going to find it because it's fake news.
I wonder how... I think UCSB has, like, a lot of people that go to school there, and they probably have, like, the worst... Their basketball team has been horrific in the past. That conference is terrible.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with Charlie on this
one. Yep, I've already won one person over, but Alex is too stubborn to win them over. Anyways...
This conference...
I digress.
This conference is...
Okay, it was worth...
It was worth
the
mention, because they are
16-3. Sure. No, I appreciate the mention, but...
Fine.
You were wrong about the statement you made. It's okay to be wrong, but
but that that officially wraps up Friday's game.
Officially.
Moving into Saturday, Michigan State on the bubble gets a needed road win against Indiana 78-71.
Props to Tito for kind of just putting the team on his back as of late.
Tito went nuts, and he has been lately.
He has been kind of the only offensive player for this.
He's been shooting well, too.
Yeah, which is weird, because
it's not like he can't shoot, but I would say, like,
he's not known as
known for it.
Yeah, he's a rack attack kind of guy. But props to Michigan State.
Still don't think they're making the tournament, but, you know, good win.
I think it's a coin toss right now, so we'll see.
I think it's less than a coin toss.
Also, I think
it's like a dice roll.
Just for
one out of six.
Just for our fans out there, we talk about Michigan State being on the bubble. I think what we're going to try and do for you guys this year is make our own little bracketology. We'll be like a combined Joe Lunardi.
Yeah, Lunardi.
So I think we're going to try and
we're going to be better than him.
Yeah, we are. We're going to release our bracket before Selection Sunday and see how we do. Yeah. Just a quick
update. We got a lot of stuff planned for March Madness. That's just one of many things to come.
I like it. Moving into some SEC play, Alabama has been looking iffy recently, only winning by 4 against a garbage Vanderbilt team,
82-78.
Yep, Alabama's been scary recently. Not scary as in, like,
it's
just
that they've
worked a little worse.
Their offense isn't clicking quite as much as of late. I mean, they scored 82 points.
They don't play any defense.
But they play no defense. You know, their offense really needs to be clicking on a nightly basis.
And yeah, Quinterly really came through in this one, or there would have been a really bad upset.
Oh, yeah, because they shot 25% from three, and that will not win you many games. Yeah. Shackelford was 1 of 9 from three.
Especially with the amount of threes they shoot.
Exactly. Petty was 1 of 7. That's adding 1 of 16, or 2 of 16 combined between Shackelford and Petty ain't going to do it many nights. Lucky they were playing a bad, bad team, but it could have gotten ugly there. Nova at home gets a need to win against UConn 68-60.
This was a really good game.
This was a very good game.
Good to see Booknight back.
Was this his first game back?
No, I think second.
He was in prime form, though, dropped 21-10.
I mean, he's so key to that team.
I know.
UConn only goes as far as Booknight goes.
Here's the issue. UConn has played, after the end of this game, they have played 16 games. They're 10-6. Is that enough to have them on the bubble?
I think they're on the bubble. I don't think they're in as of right now.
Yeah, I think they're on the outside.
They're
looking
on the outside looking in.
I don't think they have enough like marquee wins to.
I don't think they have enough just like
to put them over the
mass
top.
Like total games. I don't know. It just seems like they're gonna have to.
Well, if a team played 16 games and they're like 12-4, they'd be in.
Yeah,
but not if they're 10-6.
Yeah, if they last three games they're playing right now, they're playing Georgetown as we speak, and their games after that are against Marquette, Seton Hall, and Georgetown. I think if they can win out, they're in the tournament.
I agree.
Yeah.
Although they are bad teams, they still. If they
That's what I'm saying, though.
But
they
would
have
love
a good
to see UConn in the tournament.
UConn in March Madness just hits different.
James Booknight is
like peanut butter and jelly.
Literally one of the players that you would need to watch.
100%. Definitely. 100%. And moving in some more SEC play, Kentucky on the road defeats Tennessee, a fraudulent Tennessee team, 70-55. I don't know if I could have told you I could have seen this one coming, but
Tennessee has no offense.
None.
Like, their defense is okay, but even some nights their defense doesn't look that good. I mean, 32% from the field?
That ain't going to do it.
That's never going to do it. Is there any chance Tennessee wins a game in March Madness? I mean, obviously there's a chance. They're probably going to be, like, favored.
They'll probably be a 6-11.
They'll probably be,
like
a 6 seed playing. I can't see myself picking Tennessee to win a game. I really can't. They haven't shown me anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're off. I mean, if they have a semi poor defensive performance, they're losing a game.
Yeah,
it's like if a mid-major team gets hot from three,
it's
wraps because they're not going to outshoot them.
No.
Tennessee can't outshoot anybody.
They're physically unable.
Physically unable, but Kentucky, too little too late, would we say? Because they've been picking it up recently. They've been shooting the ball
They need
well.
To win the SEC tournament.
Yeah, it's way too little too late unless they win the conference tournament.
Oh, yeah,
but they have a chance.
I'm not
saying
that.
To win the SEC tourney.
As the biggest BJ Boston fan in the world, as was established last episode, even I'm saying they don't have
a point.
They would need some help, maybe get, like, Bama out or something. Like, if they run into Bama, they're kind of screwed, but I think there's a chance. I mean, I don't think the SEC, I think Bama's
cream of the crop, that's
really
right.
Good, but, like, they can beat Missouri, Tennessee,
yeah,
LSU.
That's true.
Yeah, you never want to rule anybody out, but I would say it's, I mean, pretty doubtful.
Yeah, it's doubtful, I'd say, but obviously, moving on to some Big 12 one of the best conferences in basketball. You got Kansas at home taking on Texas Tech, and Kansas wins 67-61. Kind of a dogfight game. This is a great game to watch, though.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Tech, they no matter like who they play against, they just make the game fun to watch.
Texas Tech's fun to watch.
They're fun to watch. I think that if I had to pick right now, that's my favorite, like,
most fun team to watch
would be Texas
Tech. Oh, yeah, I dig that.
Yeah, Kansas, after their little skid, they've won 5 in a row and are currently in a tight one with Texas. And if you look at Kansas recently, they're getting production from all 5 of their starters.
Yeah.
David McCormack has been efficient as of recent.
Yeah, he's been rather dominant.
Yeah, and they kind of need that, too, because Agbaji and Christian Brown have been kind of carrying the offense for the first half of the season. They were firing a lot of threes earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think David McCormack was really overlooked by Kansas, too, as 100%. Well as everybody
else. Kansas tried to push Christian Brown a little too hard in the beginning of the year.
I agree.
Christian Brown's not a guy I want taking 13 shots a game. He's really not.
No.
He's a guy I want taking maybe like 7-8 shots and being efficient with his shots.
Because
if he's open from three, Christian Brown will knock him down.
Yeah.
But
Shawnee Brown, knock it down.
Knock it down, Christian Brown.
Fair. But I think that I love this new Kansas offense where they're
incorporating
David McCormack a lot more than they were in the first half of the season, or even the first like 2/3 of the season. So it's good to see them kind of changing their ways. Cuse picks up a win at home against Notre Dame, 75-67. Cuse is a 13-6 team, and they've...
Bubble team.
Was this the game where Buddy Boeheim went off? I know he didn't one of Cuse's recent games. What was his line?
29 points and over rebound and assist, but points
but,
is all you need to know.
Boeheim's all there.
6 of 10 from 3.
Listen...
The
Cuse in March Madness.
I want to see Cuse.
It's like a UConn thing.
Yeah. They really suffered a tough loss, so
they did.
Their loss on what was it, Monday, yesterday,
to Duke
really hurt them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but Boeheim's got murder on his mind, and you put him in the big dance.
Okay.
It's over with.
I do really want to see.
Yeah.
Man, what I love to see Cuse and UConn both because they're fun teams to watch.
Yeah.
Especially if Buddy Boeheim's dropping 29.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Another phenomenal Big 12 game. West Virginia on the road against Texas. Squeaks it out, West Virginia does. 84-82. I don't know what to say about Texas, because Texas was now a 6-loss team after that. I don't know. Texas has not been getting it done in the close games as a reason.
I agree. I love West Virginia. They might be my favorite team to watch. And a name that I think we mentioned maybe 2 episodes back, McNeil is really stepping up for West Virginia.
Sean McNeil is one of the most overlooked basketball players in college basketball.
He's so nice from three.
He's like...
And you
can't even compare him. He
stepped into Taz Sherman's role when Sherman got hurt, and he has exceeded expectations.
But the thing is, he's been doing this all season. He would have games where he's 5 of 7 from three
He's time. Like what you want from Christian Brown.
He's exactly what you want.
Exactly right.
24, 25 minutes, shoot
7-8
shots. Yep, make 5-6 of them.
And have almost
and have like, yeah, 4 threes.
I was going to compare Sean McNeil, not the same type of player, but the type of efficiency to like a Kyle Young of Ohio State. Extremely efficient, knows his role, gets the job done.
Okay,
know their role,
different players, yes.
Yes,
but,
different players. They play different. Okay. Sean McNeil's a shooter.
And, if you would have told Texas before the game that Courtney Ramey would have 28 points and Matt Coleman would be 8 for 9 with 20 points, I think they would have chalked that one up to a W. West Virginia.
Yeah, they, like...
And Jericho Sims even was 7 of 9 from the field with another 14 points, so... Texas shot 54% from the field, 54% from 3, and lost this game.
We know Texas has a
crazy
great backcourt, but they need more from either Greg Brown or Kai Soto coming off the bench. Or Kai Jones.
I guess, that's fair. Texas had 6 more turnovers. That's the reason they lost. Because they shot 10% better than West Virginia from the field. That's pretty impressive to lose a game shooting 10% more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's credit to West Virginia's defense and them being able to force turnovers. Illinois gets a much-needed blowout win against Minnesota at the Barn, 94-63. I don't know how I feel about Minnesota as a recent.
Yeah, especially at the Barn. Normally at the Barn, Minnesota tends
dangerous.
To put up fights.
Dangerous.
But,
it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Iowa with another triple-double. He's been on a tear as of late.
He's been on a tear.
What was it? I saw some stat. It was like, Iowa DeSunmu has half of Illinois' triple-doubles with 2. Like, Illinois' all-time in their college basketball history, triple-double.
Getting triple-doubles in college buckets is no easy feat.
Oh, it's no easy feat.
Yeah.
It's a much different ballgame than the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's tough to compare, but I was like, wow, they've only had four in their entire existence of their college basketball program. That's crazy. Florida State on the road picks up a win against Pittsburgh, 79-72. Florida State, another sneaky team, just they don't really get enough spotlight, in my
honorable
opinion.
Mention for underrated. Would you throw them in there?
I would definitely have, and I apologize to viewers out there for not tossing that out there in the beginning. Because
apologize to Seminole Nation.
The Seminole Nation, exactly. I love this Florida State team, though, and I really think they can go places. LSU at home drops an absolute bombshell, 104-80 against Auburn. I think if LSU is going to win a game in March, it's going to have to be like this. They're going to have to put up 100 points or 90 points.
I tweeted some out after this game. I was like, this is what LSU's offense, like, that's their ceiling. This is what they are capable of at times when everything's clicking. But if they want to go anywhere in March, they're going to have to get their, they're going to either have to play like this every game, which is obviously not going to happen, or get their defense somewhat in check.
Which is also not going to happen.
I would say the offense clicking is way more feasible than the defense stepping up.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this kind of team, it's very fun to watch, though.
Very.
When they're shooting 50% from three and they're just firing shots, it's fun to watch, although very, very, very prone to easy losses.
They're a Walmart Bama.
They're a Walmart Bama, correct.
And that's why Bama
won. No, they're not even Walmart. They're like a bodega Bama.
But this team is... iffy, maybe possibly picking up a tournament win.
Not a chance.
Alex is disagreeing strongly. No chance there. Oklahoma picks up a road win against Iowa State, 66-56. We've kind of just said this all year. Iowa State just keeps games close, never wins.
Yeah, they still stink. They still make stink. No mistake. No, but make don't no twist mistake. Our comments.
They're 2-16, but
at times they keep games close.
In more than just at times.
Yeah. I mean, there's all. Let's sometimes they do get blown out. It's not like they don't get blown out.
They're a 2-16 team. They better be blown out.
But they keep like way too many games close that shouldn't be
against
close.
Baylor, against Oklahoma, against Texas Tech, against all these great Big 12 teams. They're somehow keeping games close, and it's crazy, absolutely crazy. Arizona on the road defeats USC 81-72. USC was ranked 17th at this time, although I still think USC is a very scary team. This was kind of. I mean, Arizona's also not a bad team, though.
Yeah.
Every Pac-12 team has just got thrown in the absolute shitter because of how bad the Pac-12 is.
I hate Pac-12 basketball.
Yeah, it kind of stinks to watch. Yep. But Arizona just shot the ball insanely well.
James Akinjo, Georgetown transfer, is the key player for that team. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
I still like the USC team a lot. I do too. I think they're a little bit underrated as well.
I agree. Moving into some ACC, Alex mentioned North Carolina Tar Heels. They absolutely Wisconsin'd the shit out of Louisville. 99-54. 99-54.
What happened to Louisville?
Can I just have no words to describe this Louisville team. They lose two games by over 45 points. What? What is
because they've also shown games where they look like half competent. Exactly. Like when Carly Jones is kind of being a floor general out there, they've shown at times that they're okay.
They've had a load of COVID problems. They've had a lot of COVID problems, but they've also won good games. They beat Virginia Tech when they were ranked.
Yeah.
I mean, they beat Duke, which is normally a really good win, I guess, for the Louisville team, but what the hell? I just don't get it. It makes no sense to me.
UNC played 9 bench players that game.
They wiped the bench. It was everybody.
They were throwing the walk-ons.
All I'm going to say is, though, you know what you're going to get from Bacon and Brooks? If someone on UNC, any guard, can start shooting, incredibly spooky.
Fair to put.
I mean, I would agree with that, but I don't know if I really see that necessarily happening.
Also, freshman forward Daron Sharp has been playing quite incredible as of recent. Although, it's kind of unfortunate because they already have Baycott and Garrison Brooks, that's kind of the key piece of that Florida North Carolina team. So it kind of sucks that a guard is not stepping up, as in Peanut Butter Chocolate Love or anybody else. So
Chocolate Peanut Butter Love.
He's Bill Walton. But they need some guards to step up. They can't just be forward driven. So this, I don't know. This North Carolina team is kind of a wait and see. Moving on, though, San Diego State defeats Fresno State. San Diego State's now ranked and now moved up even more this week to 22.
There's a Mountain West for you.
Too big.
Very good.
It's coming. Also, fair to mention, the Johnnies, the run has ended. DePaul wins 88-83.
Oh, they lost to DePaul.
Right as I started hyping up the Johnnies, they just shit the bed. I love the Johnnies. Second, third favorite team in college basketball. And they just stink now.
Are we going to... So, I hate to say it.
Are we throwing...
I don't know if we're going to see Posh Alexander in March Madness.
I don't think we are. I think that's such a bad loss.
I think the ship has maybe sailed.
Yeah. That's it. It's tough.
Rest in peace, Johnny's hype
train. Can't lose to DePaul.
Two weeks ago to present.
I've had two of my teams lose to frickin' DePaul this year.
That's fair.
That's unacceptable. That's
Does anybody remember last year when DePaul was one of, like, seven unbeaten teams in the country?
No, DePaul was so good at the beginning of the year last year, and Paul then they Reed, just, like, Charlie stunk. Mark.
Yes.
Yep.
It was an absolute fall from heaven. Duke picks up a phenomenal win at home against Virginia, 66-65. Duke?
What was Virginia ranked at the time?
Seventh. Now, I'm willing to go as far to say that this Duke team is similar to the Kobe King Wisconsin team of last year.
Explain that for the people who don't remember what happened with Kobe King last year.
Kobe King was a Wisconsin basketball player.
Transfer, high recruit,
3- or 4-star from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Transferred to Nebraska midseason, said, I'm done with the team, I'm leaving. Transferred to Nebraska, obviously couldn't play for Nebraska because he had to sit out a year. Out of all places, Nebraska, idiot sandwich move, if you ask me. But Jalen Johnson just did the same. He said, I'm quitting, I'm done. And Duke has looked a lot better. And after Kobe King left, Wisconsin flipped the switch. It was crazy. And they looked incredible. And they even won the ESPN simulation of March Madness. But this Duke team has really picked it up. That's a huge win for them.
Yeah, since Jalen Johnson's left. You know, this is the definition of addition by subtraction.
Boom. Couldn't have put it any better myself.
It shows how important team chemistry at times really can be in sports.
Yeah, it's not all... sometimes egos get in the way of players.
Especially in college.
College buckets with lottery / NBA draft picks. People
that
get
has
really
to be weird.
Egotistical.
You know, when there's like the walk-ons that are like worrying about their grades compared to like the Jalen Johnsons of the world, who knows they're going to be making millions of dollars in 2 years. That's got to be hard to jive with. I mean, I wouldn't know. Obviously, none of us would. We don't play.
Exactly,
but yeah. But Alex, your boy Matthew Herb, 22 points.
Yeah, we need to talk about Matthew
Herb more. I agree.
Herbmore.
We talked about him a couple months ago
and said,
what's going on? Why is he not being talked
underrated
about?
Player.
He's shooting 56% from the floor and like 49% from three this year.
Honestly, from my
opinion,
he could
win ACC player of the
year. I was just going to say he's my vote for ACC player of the year right now.
Because, I mean, who else?
Nakia Clark? Come on, Wes.
Preseason, it was probably Sam Hauser was the favorite.
Yeah,
just because he was second team All-American.
Yeah.
Hauser has been playing all right.
He has
been
playing well, but Matthew Hurt's just playing better.
I agree.
And I think Matthew Hurt's kind of been assigned the role of carry this team, whereas Sam Hauser can kind of play a role and doesn't have to be at the bear all the load of the Virginia team, I guess, because they're more well-rounded, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this Duke team, on the rise, I'd say. But that wraps up our Saturday's games. A very good slate from Saturday. Moving into Sunday, arguably the best game of the week. Actually, not even arguably. I would say the best game of the week.
The best game of the year, in my opinion.
Really. I actually would maybe get behind that because this game from start to finish was electric, and your eyes had to be glued to the TV because you're like, I can't miss this. This is phenomenal basketball going on.
I think it was the most high-quality basketball I've watched all year.
I actually agree with that. Let's get to the game, though. Michigan on the road against Ohio State wins 92-87. Just a phenomenal game. Dwayne Washington for Ohio State was on fire from three. I think he had 27 or something. 30.
He had 30 points. Yeah, literally my notes for this game were, great game. Next sentence. Dwayne Washington off a perk. I mean, that's all I had. I mean, I was just...
Dwayne Washington was balling. Obviously, EJ Liddell, he had a phenomenal game. 23 points. But just the team. I mean, those were the only two guys that played well, to be fair, for Ohio State.
Yeah.
CJ Walker
off the bench
in, yeah.
played well. He had a bunch of nice drives to the rack. But this Michigan team with Shaun D. Brown was knocking it down. Three or four from three. He was playing.
And he was
fire.
A hound dog out there.
He had some fire under his ass. I don't know what happened, but
Shaun D. Brown. He's a blue collar player. He's a motivated individual.
Oh yeah. But Hunter Dickinson was quite efficient in this game with 22-9. Eli Brooks also turned it up. Isaiah Livers. It was a great all around game for Michigan. Even with Franz,
I would say
four shots.
Even though obviously one team loses, one team wins.
They both won.
This game raise the reputation of both these teams.
I think this is a win-win-win because the viewers also won. This is a classic.
This is a
Michael Scott.
It's a win-win-win.
Even the moderators / viewers winning this one. Absolutely incredible. My eyes were absolutely pleased to see this game. It was just a phenomenal game.
You know, it was a great game because obviously Ohio State lost in this one. but they didn't move down in the AP poll at all.
They stayed at four. And they didn't deserve to move
and
down.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think they're still on the one line. I think they would still be on the one line as of right now.
Most likely.
Yes.
Obviously, that's up for debate, but that's where I would have them right now. Just have to mention this game because Houston needed this bounce back win. 90-52 over the lowly Cincinnati Bearcats.
Didn't Luke in the beginning of the season say that Cincinnati was underrated?
That's another reason why I mentioned that, because Luke's like, just keep an eye on the Cincinnati team. And then he eventually let the ship sail about 2.5 months ago. But
yes,
to be fair, he didn't have to mention that.
Speaking of Luke, he will likely be on the next episode. So
Coming
this weekend. So make sure you stay tuned.
Incredible. Love to see it.
Great to have that kid back.
We're missing Luke's hot takes.
We're missing his bad takes.
Like this one, like Cincy.
Yeah.
Underrated.
Yeah.
We're missing his hot takes that are like scalding hot
that you burn your hands. Your nuts are burning.
But game to mention here, Maryland, as we mentioned, they're a possible underrated team, defeats Rutgers on the road 68-59.
Let's rewind the tapes last episode. I said Maryland was a tourney team and that they pick up nice wins. You guys were like, eh. Wesley's like, I'll give him a 30% chance. Alex is like, maybe. Well, look at them now. What are they, 14-10?
And I think they're on the inside looking up.
They're definitely on the inside. I mean, all their starters were in double figures. They're a team that I would say they don't have that much pure talent. I don't think Maryland has that much pure talent.
Agree.
But they have enough experience, mm-hmm. and they're disciplined enough, which is rare because they got a bum coaching them. No disrespect, Mark Turgeon. when have you ever heard me hyping up a Maryland team? Never.
But it's happening.
You
right
never
now.
Have. Mark Turgeon team. I'm hyping them up. That shows you that this team, at least relative to their ranking/record, is decent.
You got it. But if you've ever watched a Mark, I mean, like, obviously Mark Turgeon is a huge bum, but like, just
he's a
some
bum.
Evidence behind that.
He's a bum.
If you've
bum.
Ever watched any of his like post game interviews, just like the way he like, he's like, yeah, we kind of suck tonight. Zero energy.
He's drier than
saltine
crackers. Jinx.
You owe me a Coke. But I think for this Maryland team to win games, they have to have all five starters have great chemistry, and they have to play as a team to win games.
Yeah, no, I've noticed
have
that.
To play as a
that's
team.
That's what they do when they win. And
exactly.
You know.
And it works.
Alex, do you have any thoughts on Turgeon's Terrapins?
Oh, I found it quite amusing how you just go out there and say, Turgeon's a bum, but then add the... No disrespect.
Listen,
no
disrespect. You know, it's...
I just
found enjoyed
it's
it.
It's tasteful,
funny.
You know.
It's
I stand tasteful. By it. You know, Turgeon can come on the podcast. I gladly debate him on his coaching skills. I would gladly bring on Turgeon and ask him, you know, what do you think it is that you do good as a coach? And then tell him why he's wrong.
His argument will be null and void from the beginning of the talk. There will be no, nothing heard. Nothing will convince you. That's fair, though, because I totally agree. He's a bum coach. More Big Ten play. Iowa squeaks out a win against Penn State, 74-68. I don't know. Luke always loves to toss the fire on Iowa and be like, oh, they blow, whatever. Fran fade. I don't know, though. I don't really see this team fading right now.
Yeah,
they weren't earlier. They had a little bit of a midseason fade. Garza with 23-11 this game. He's going to do his normal dominant thing. He's pretty much locked up the player of the year. So I think
100%.
This Iowa team... could win a few games in March. Wisconsin gets a much needed win against the lowly Northwestern Wildcats. That's if they were this game was close in the first half. Let me mention that all Wisconsin fans had ants in their pants because it was like, is this gonna happen? I mean, they did the same thing in Nebraska, but
picked up a nice win though.
At the end of the day, they picked up a win, a needed win. Mm-hmm. So. But that wraps up the games from Sunday. Now moving into Monday, Oklahoma State, signature win against Texas Tech in OT, 74-69. I think this is probably helping Alex. Is like that's kind of what motivated this argument is seeing this win against. Really?
I don't know. I've been on Oak State for a while.
Fair.
Yeah.
Respect it.
And this game, like, you know, once again, Texas Tech was my underrated team. This is not like a hop-off Texas Tech sort of moment. Mm-hmm. This is just sort
respect
of
both teams.
Both teams are good.
Respect both teams, 100%.
And I think, you know, you give them a 7-game series, Texas Tech wins. But
probably.
Okie State's, you know, they're not a band of slouches. They're all right.
Yeah.
OT win against Texas Tech. They had that double OT win against Texas.
Yep.
They know how to win games.
Yeah.
I think,
not wrong.
Yeah, they do know how to win games. USC picks up a needed win against Oregon, 72-58. Kind of just a bounce back win after their loss. Again, Pac-12, not fun to watch, but USC is the team to watch if you're going to watch a Pac-12 team, I'd say.
I would argue it's Washington.
I
okay,
agree.
If you're watching the laugh, you can watch Washington. Eric Stevenson is a running meme.
Laugh.
Huh? Eric Stevenson.
You're watching the GOAT. You're literally watching Michael Jordan play basketball.
My eyes are glued to the TV.
Glued.
Watching Eric Stevenson googly eyes trying to find his way reference to Instagram post.
Yeah, give us a follow. We're actually, believe it or not, kind of funny.
Yeah. we are kind of funny on there. That's kind of our comedy platform to kind of toss some shade.
Yeah, 100%.
Moving in then, that's the end of Monday's games. Wraps up Monday's game. Moving into Tuesday's games here. Still some games going on, obviously. But just have to mention, again, St. Louis loses, but VCU picks up a win against St. Louis, 67-65. I think if there's one team out of the A-10 that's going to win a game, it's going to be VCU. So.
Yeah, we had this as the first game in our parlay. We got that one correct, so check mark.
Check mark the spot.
You know, VCU's all right.
Fair. But Michigan State, we were possibly thinking about this game. Michigan State picks up a home win against Illinois, 81-72. That's a huge win for Michigan State.
It is.
Huge.
Like, huge. If they're going to get in to March Madness, that is the kind of game that'll propel them.
I think that's got them in right now.
Win.
That's got them in. That's
more than a Q1 win. Let's not.
That's a Q.5 win.
That's a Q.5.
Has to be. 100% has to be.
Tito staying hot.
Yeah.
Another 20 points.
God, Tito's.
He's burying Michigan State. That's.
You know, speaking of, we're having a discussion pre-podcast about the best players in the Big Ten. Where does Tito fit in on that?
Tito's around 9-10.
I think he's 10. Aaron Henry's probably 10. Best player in Michigan State.
Yeah, by the way, Tito is Aaron Henry for the uninformed.
Yeah.
That does need to be mentioned. I'm sure there are some confused listeners out there. Nice. But the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech on the road picks up a win against Virginia Tech, 69-53.
Georgia Tech loves upsetting teams. I don't know
what else
to say.
Yeah, there's nothing really else to say. That's just what the rambling wreck does. They upset teams.
Fair. Georgia wins against LSU, 91-78. That's what happens when LSU's offense doesn't play well. They lose. Just kind of the way things happen.
It's the way of life, really.
Way of life. Baylor, scary game here. They were down 18 to Iowa State. A 2-16 Iowa State, let me add.
And this is Baylor, number 2 in
Baylor,
the nation.
Undefeated. Defeated, pretty much defeated versus undefeated. What was happening here? But Baylor squeaks it out, 77-72.
And it was a lot, like, it was actually closer than that. Like, Iowa State was up for almost
most of the game.
Almost
the entire game,
yeah.
Iowa State. Bruh. I mean, man, what a weird, weird team.
What a wild turn of events. Just absolutely insane. But yeah, Baylor picks up a much-needed win. Nova sinking the Johnny ship, 81-58.
They get revenge on the Johnnies.
They got revenge. And yeah, the Johnnies, the ship has sailed, officially, I'd say. Wow. Do we have some Big 12 magic here?
Yep. That one really hurts the parlay.
If you're standing, please sit down because we are about to really shock you.
D3/D4 team Kansas State at home defeats Oklahoma 62-57.
I mean, how does that even happen?
I'm just speechless.
Was all of Oklahoma's players out with COVID or something?
I'm speechless. There are no words.
They were all there.
Austin Reeves had 25.
Davion Harmon played well.
Yep, he had 13.
And no one else played
Austin
well.
Austin Reeves, once again, one of my favorite players in the nation. But
Oklahoma's letting Mike McGurl drop 20 on him.
Oh, my God.
Who in the world is Mike McGurl? It's
this guy with his insane hair. He's been there for a while.
Oh, I know that guy. Yeah.
Kansas State.
He was there on their Elite Eight run,
I think. He was. Kansas State shot 38% from the field and 25% from three and won this
game.
I mean, that's a grit and grind sort of game. There's nothing to even say. Like,
there's nothing to say. I'm speechless. If you're an Oklahoma
fan, declared
you
Kansas State a D2 school. Like, they're no longer.
D3.
They might be D3. I don't know. But they're not D1.
And I think they're still not D1 even after that.
No.
Disappointing, to say the least.
And that takes it for Oklahoma, who I had really kind of been growing on. I was really liking the way they were playing. Austin Reeves knocking down shots.
They go from the 2-line to a 4-line after this loss.
Yeah, at least. That's a 2-seed drop.
That's for sure at least a 2-seed drop. I agree with that. And then I have to point out some more fraud teams here. Ole Miss defeats Missouri 60-53. Although Ole Miss is not a team to be overlooked. Ole Miss has had some spooky upsets here and there. They're 13-19. They'll probably make the tournament as a 10, kind of like they always do. They're always kind of an 8-9-10 seed, I feel
they
like.
They were once.
No, they were twice,
once.
I'm pretty sure.
They were once, and they lost Oklahoma by 30. Once again, guys, don't test my March Madness knowledge. I have like a photographic memory when it comes to brackets. There were a 9 seed playing 8 seed Oklahoma in 2018.
Fair. Whatever. And then we have to mention this. ASU beats Washington 97-64.
Let's get it quick.
Eric Stevenson, 1 of 7 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. 3 points.
He woke up feeling dangerous. Five boards, though.
So he wasn't just Tony Snell. He was not just running around out there.
He was getting some physical exercise.
Hey, Remy Martin, 26.
Too bad.
Haven't heard that name in a while.
I really have not heard that name in a while.
Too bad it doesn't matter. But the game of the night that's still being played is Texas against Kansas in OT. Texas up 73-72, 38 seconds left in this game. Anything can happen here. Yeah. Keep an eye on that game. See what the final score is on that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you're tuned in right
Texas
now.
Texas has kind of been known to lose close games.
Yeah. We'll see on that. But that wraps up the games from Tuesday. Now moving in, we'll just do a couple. Yeah. But then, yeah, looking into the games to look forward to here, we'll get the lines from Wednesday. Obviously, Vegas doesn't like to release the lines for 2 days ahead, just normally a one-day in advance kind of thing for Vegas. But Wednesday's slate here, we have Virginia at home against North Carolina, or NC State, sorry. UVA favored by 11.5 at home. I think I like them to bounce back here after their loss to Duke.
Yeah, of course. I like them to win. I think they'll win. I like NC State to cover. I like NC State to cover that line. I don't think NC State's good, by the way.
I think anything over 10-point Virginia favorites, you always just think like,
Yeah, that's just not the brand of basketball Virginia plays.
They're just not a consistent 10-point victors. North Carolina hosting Marquette. North Carolina are 8.5-point favorites. I think I'd probably like North Carolina to cover in this game.
Yeah. I don't mind that line for Marquette,
really?
If I'm being completely honest.
I don't mind that line for Marquette either.
North Carolina to win, but I think
Marquette's covering. North Carolina covered?
I got North Carolina covered in all that right. game. I like how they've been playing.
They're going to have to shoot pretty well.
They are going to have to shoot pretty well. Butler hosting Seton Hall, no line on that game yet. Rutgers hosting Indiana. Rutgers 3.5-point favorites in this game.
They're hosting. Rutgers kind of needs a bounce back
win
after losing to Maryland.
100%. But I think Indiana, this is going to be a grit and grind game because both 100%. Teams need this game.
Rutgers needs a win to really like stay like off the bubble. Like Rutgers is, I would say they're like somewhat comfortable right now. But
not really.
If they lose versus Indiana,
they're a loss away.
Then they're firmly on the bubble. Now, luckily, their remaining schedule, I have checked it out, is rather easy. But still,
Indiana's on the bubble, so they really need this game.
Rutgers
right
needs this win bad. I think they get it at the rack.
I think
I'm going to make a prediction here. I think Ron Harper Jr. has a 30-point game. He's due. He's been playing awful lately. He's due for a big game.
He's like a pregnant woman. He's been due for about like 6 months, though. He has
eventually that baby's going to come out.
Eventually
that baby has to come out. That's just, I mean, that's just science.
Basic biology, some might put it. But Florida State on the road against Miami. Florida State 11-point favorites. I'd like them to cover in this one. Although yep. Miami's pulled some sneaky upsets, I like Florida State to cover.
No Chris Likes.
Chris Likes equals no chance. But the probably arguably the game of the night, Arkansas hosting Alabama. Arkansas 1-point favorites in this game, although they are, I would say Alabama's a better team.
And Arkansas is actually ranked.
They're ranked
right.
20th in the country, yes. Alabama at 6.
Okay, Alabama's going to win.
I like Bama. I'm going to base it off their first matchup when Bama won by 31.
And say they're going to cover?
Yes.
I like Alabama to cover this one, especially.
Win.
Winning, obviously, yeah.
Because Alabama and Arkansas play the same style, I would say, except Bama plays it better on every
more,
end.
And more consistent, too.
Yes, yeah, way more consistent.
I don't think Bama can have two awful shooting nights in a row because their last game before this was awful. I think they
this seems like what is Vegas thinking? Like, I don't.
But
we hate to say it. They always kind of know, but I don't understand the slander.
I think Moses Moody needs at least 25 for Arkansas to win with. And that's another freshman that we need to start giving some more recognition.
Oh, yeah. Boy, absolutely.
Moody, he's been balling. Creighton hosts DePaul. Creighton's 15-point favorites.
Dude, they're not covering that line.
I don't know if they can cover
that.
I think
they're covering that line.
I think I'm taking a DePaul to cover.
DePaul to cover. They're coming up with some confidence. They beat the Johnnies.
They better have that fucking confidence because this team stinks. They stink. They need some confidence to will them to a 15-point cover. Tennessee on the road against Vandy. Tennessee only 7-point favorites against a pretty bad Vanderbilt basketball team.
Give me Vandy to cover.
Give me Vandy to cover as well. Tennessee has shown me no reason to
bet. And every
on
time we pick them, they always lose.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to have to take Rocky Top to cover in this one.
Rocky Top sadness, dude.
Rocky Come Top on. Sadness, I know. I feel like I'm going to be sad after this game, but I'm going to have to take him. That's just my gut feeling on that. And then finally, Providence at hosting Xavier. Xavier's 1.5-point favorites in this one.
I like X.
I got to be honest. I don't know anything if like I've watched more than 20 minutes of Xavier basketball this year.
It's not bad.
Beginning of the season, I did because they were like 8-1, and they were all like, all Xavier fans were up in arms about, whoa, we're 8-1, and we should be ranked, and not blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, this one's kind of like a shot in the dark, but I'll just go Providence just because I don't know anything about Xavier.
Xavier's played 16 games this year, and I remember they
and were, a lot of it was in the beginning of the year.
They had 8 games played when other teams had like 4 or 5.
And the Xavier's without a really good problems. Shooting team, though.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what happened to their COVID problems. They went off the walls, it appears, but I'm going to take Xavier to cover in that one. And that'll wrap up our games. Wednesday moving into Thursday. Game of the night is Baylor hosting West Virginia. Any Big 12 big game is just kind of the game of the night because they're
assuming so... Assuming it doesn't get canceled, of course, because that's what the Big classic. 12 has sort
the classic.
Of tended to show us lately.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a phenomenal game.
Is there a line out for that one yet?
There's no line.
Who's at home?
Baylor.
West Virginia. Baylor like a 6-7-point favorite.
Nah, see, I'm going to tell you what's happening.
I've seen 4.5.
Baylor's due
for a loss.
And we saw how they played against Iowa State. You could argue they come back hot. I don't know. I love the way this West Virginia team plays. I'm taking West Virginia to win this game.
I think this is personally a bad matchup for West Virginia. I think Baylor's guards lock down Deuce, McNeil, and Taz Sherman. I like Baylor.
I like Baylor to win, but if there's any team in the Big 12 that's beating Baylor, it's West Virginia.
Let me think about that for a second.
Oklahoma's not beating them. I don't think Texas Tech.
Think Texas could beat them.
I think that West Virginia's a better chance than
Texas. I think Texas is the best matchup. Matches up the best against Baylor.
I would put them as my number two, but I think West Virginia is my favorite team that would be, if I had a favorite.
Alex is really thinking hard here. What's going
on? He's looking like the thinker with his hand on his chin.
He's looking like the thinker.
I'd probably have to say Texas Tech.
So we had 3 different answers here, which shows that nobody truly knows. So once again,
I would love to say Okie State just because they might beat them.
No, they will not beat
them. In their next game, next match.
I disagree. If that happens, I'm going to hear the shits for that. But you know,
yeah, then you'll get it.
I'll be taking a trip down, sitting on the couch just... Yeah, getting my ears chewed out here. My ears will be just destroyed.
Bleeding.
But arguably, maybe even a better game than West Virginia Baylor is Iowa Michigan.
Not a better game.
I would agree, not
a better game.
But still,
the only argument you can make though is Dickinson versus Garza. That's going to be incredible.
Sure,
for a matchup.
And if I'm not mistaken, didn't Michigan lock up Garza last time they played?
Correct.
Which is just credit to Juwan Howard, incredible coach.
Goat coach right now.
Yeah, I think Michigan dominates.
I think I like Michigan this one, especially because they're at home. They won at Carver Hawkeye last time.
Michigan by 13 points.
I like Michigan. I'm wondering who Luke's rooting for in this one.
It's always Iowa first. We all know that.
See, here's the thing is that...
He likes to emphasize the Fran fade.
Michigan's been playing well lately, so
and you
I
think
feel
he's
like
a little
he's
bit of a fair weather.
For
you
Michigan.
Think he's a little bit of a fair weather fan?
That is exactly what I think.
You could have just said it like a man, and you could have had the nuts, but instead I had to go and say it.
The nuts. Illinois hosting Nebraska ball. Illinois is going to pick up a win here.
Probably be a 30-point win.
Hope to God it is, otherwise we got some issues.
Didn't they go to OT with Nebraska ball
last year?
They did. Better hope
they rebound. Let's not count our chickens before they hatch.
And finally, Houston gets to play some competition, hosting a Goodman Major team in Western Kentucky.
Ooh, that'll be interesting.
I think that'll be a very interesting game. I think
Charles Bassey, he's a monster down low for
UKU.
I think it's going to be a really... Because Houston's really having a good, solid big men, I'd say.
Yeah, they're more of a guard-oriented team.
I think it's going to be a really scrappy game. I think it's going to be a good game to watch. So I would recommend tuning into this one on ESPN2. Yeah, but there's really not too many good games other than Michigan State hosting Ohio State. Michigan State picks this one up. They're a lock for the tournament.
Yep.
That's a very good game, too.
Very good game.
Sparty's been rolling. Ohio State's the far superior team.
I agree with that. I think.
Okay, that's not a hot take, Alex. Everyone thinks Ohio State's the far superior team.
I think Ohio State wins this one, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Even on the road.
But if Michigan State does win it, then their resume, despite their record, looks pretty nice.
Correct. They do. It would look very nice. Colorado also hosts USC tonight, or that night, Thursday night. I don't know. USC needs another win. to kind of get the ball rolling in the direction again. But another phenomenal Mountain West game. San Diego State host Boise State. Top tier Mountain West action.
See, this is where we really see where the cream of the crop is.
This is going to be a great
game. I tend to think it's Boise State.
I think it's San Diego State.
I tend to disagree. I think San Diego State.
I think San Diego State's the cream of the crop. They're kind of...
And they play two games. They play Thursday and Saturday.
That's how the Mountain West likes to do it.
Yeah,
that's like,
I don't mind it.
If they split,
I kind of do.
If they split,
if I'm being honest,
if they split, I still like San Diego State better. But if Boise State sweeps, then I'm gonna for sure say Boise State's better, the best team in the Mountain West.
We shall see. Is that the last game?
We shall see. Yep, that wraps up the games from Thursday.
All right. I mean, this was a little bit longer of an episode, but you know, we had so much to talk about. We had so much to get off our chest, you know, and we. Do expect to be a little bit more consistent. Midterm week is almost over. God bless.
God bless.
God bless. And hopefully we'll have Luke on here next episode. That should be a fun change of pace.
Yeah, well, also, we got some fun special segments planned for the future, so...
Stay tuned, yeah.
As we get rolling into March Madness here.
While we may not have been as consistent as of late, it doesn't mean we haven't been planning and thinking about it.
Correct.
So, yeah, until next time, this is Made in March.